Let's take a look at some political stories here in the UK. We're going to chat a little bit about the Employment Rights Bill and Labour newly in government. So what's been happening in that 100 days plus? Kate Vallis and Roisin Jacqueline are with us. Kate, what's the interaction been like with the RNIB then and Labour? It's still very early days, but I suppose we always mark the 100 days, don't we?
Yeah, so we've really seized upon the opportunity, as I think many third sector organisations have since the election, to engage with as many MPs of government, but also MPs from opposition parties as well, and to really put our case forward about the different issues that affect blind and partsighted people and what those different MPs could be doing. So we've actually forged some really strong relationships with some of the new MPs and maintain our strong relationship with existing MPs from all parties. And with change comes opportunity. So we've both been sort of taking advantage of that through the party conferences and also sort of before then with different engagements with MPs. We've got a parliamentary reception in November, which is being sponsored by one of the newly elected MPs as well. And we've already had a considerable amount of RSVPs to that reception, actually, from both MPs, old and new, and a fairly even split between the parties as well. So I think what that indicates to me anyway is that we're doing a good job of appealing to people of all parties across the House.
Again, you know, we know it's quite early in Labour's term in government, but what have the main topics been?
Yeah, so our sort of priority, our campaigning priority right now is vision rehabilitation, which is a service that should be provided to people with sight loss when they first begin to lose their sight or when their sight loss increases so that they gain the skills they need to be independent and confident and go about their day-to-day lives. And we've been doing a lot of work trying to engage with the relevant ministers, so Wes Streeting, Stephen Kinnock, for example, but also different backbench MPs as well, both through our conference presence, which focused on vision rehab, but also through individuals sort of getting in touch with their MPs as constituents to put forward why vision rehab matters to them and what they want their MP to do about it. So that's been our main focus. But yeah, endless variety of things that we could engage on, including SEND provision, which is support that children and young people should get in school if they have additional support needs, which a lot of the new intake are really interested in and really passionate about, to accessible voting, which one of the private members' bills that was announced today. So yeah, it's been a busy but also very quick 100 days for us anyway.
You've also got a budget coming up on the 30th of October as well. You know, it's an important thing for everyone, but I suppose for people who are blind or partially sighted, those in work as well will be looking at what happens in terms of any tax changes, national insurance, was employers there as well, and any changes to welfare payments. So even the budget that's coming up may have some positive or negative implications as well.
Yeah, the budget is always one of the sort of mainstays of our calendar, and we always prepare quite a speedy response, speedy but comprehensive response to it, and also to the King's Speech. Those are the sort of the parliamentary events that we really focus on every year, and in the run-up to the budget we'll be keeping an ear out for any sort of whispers or rumours that come out about what's going to be in it, so we can respond in the best way and also make sure to sort of react to it in the most effective way and make sure that blind and partsighted people's concerns are getting put forward comprehensively.
No doubt we'll chat after that, Kate. We've also got Roisin Jacqueline with us as well. Major piece of legislation, I suppose, in the world of employment for decades now, that apparently they're saying, Roisin, the Employment Rights Bill. Now, we talk a lot about blind and partially sighted people getting into employment or staying in employment as well. So was there anything that you were kind of interested that looks positive in the bill, or perhaps anything that's missing from the bill?
Yeah, it was a really interesting bill that's been brought forward. Within the bill itself, I think there's a lot of important measures which will generally benefit employees. There wasn't anything specific within the bill itself targeting the rights of kind of disabled employees, but I think generally there's some really positive measures. We've got reforms around making flexible working the default, which we know is hugely important for blind and partially sighted people in work, and things like having fewer face-to-face meetings or kind of being able to travel at less busy times of the day are so important. So with that one, we'll be making sure there's not a limit to the number of requests that someone can make around flexible working, because I think in a previous bill from the previous government there had been a limit around people only making two requests. There's also reforms there around statutory sick pay, So now people can get statutory sick pay from the first day of absence, which is really critical. Previously, it being from the fourth day. And there's also kind of removal of kind of the lower earnings limit so that everyone can access statutory sick pay. There's also changes around ending 0 hour contracts if they're not preferred by an employee, and also strengthening kind of the enforcement system to protect workers' rights. I think particularly around that one, that's one we will want to be feeding into and making sure employers are equipped with kind of the knowledge around blind and partially sighted people's rights and to reasonable adjustments under the Equality Act, and also have that guidance to put a supportive workplace in place. Just outside of the bill, we also got a next steps document from the government, and I think there was something that's really important for blind and partially sighted employees. The government's going to be taking forward work to make it mandatory for large employers to be reporting on the disability pay gap. And this is something that we've been long calling for and really welcome. And we think it'll be really important to kind of closing the gaps that exist at the moment around employment levels and pay between disabled employees and the wider workforce. And interestingly, under the Employment Rights Bill, the government's been taking a lot of learnings from the current kind of gender pay gap reporting. And they're going to be putting in place a requirement for large employers to kind of bring out action plans of how they're going to address any kind of gender pay gaps.
Some positive points in there. Obviously we have to see how long a lot of this takes to actually come into play for real. Was there nothing really about work to encourage employers or the carrot and stick thing for getting more blind and partially sighted people into employment in the first place, or was that bill not really looking at that at this point?
We're expecting quite soon an employment white paper. So I think that's maybe where we'll get some of the detail around how disabled people can be supported to move into or stay in work. Disappointingly, maybe the thing that we really want to hear about more is around access to work. So we're hoping we'll get a bit more kind of an update from the government. We know kind of the really long-standing delays that a lot of people continue to face when they're applying for support from the government scheme. So key for us, for more blind and partially sighted people to be able to kind of thrive in work, is the government fixing access to work.
Access to work, always a big talking point there, Roisin. We will come back to both of you, no doubt, further down the line for more on the budget and more on that employment white paper as well. But for the moment, to Kate Vallis and to Roisin Jacqueline, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.